Welcome to the Leader, Manager, Coach podcast, where we share knowledge, philosophies, wisdom, and insight to help you on your journey in both sport and life. Introducing your host, Rob Riles.
Welcome to the second part of the Dennis Smith interview. This particular part of the interview is Dennis Smith on management. Dennis was an esteemed member of that 1000 club, along with people like Sir Alex Ferguson, Dario Gradi, and so on. And talking to him and listening to his words and hearing the passion in his voice, he was very much his own man. And once again, there are so many lessons for coaches and managers from Dennis. Enjoy. So when you were playing, Dennis, did you know that you wanted to manage, or did it just happen, or did you have this inkling that you wanted to be a manager?
Oh, I knew sooner or later I would be a manager. I started at school at Queensbury Road because the sports teacher left, so I took over running the football team. We got to final and won. Beat me as the other club. So, you know, so I'd done it then at 14, 15. Dennis Wilshaw, I dropped one of the players who was in Dennis Wilshaw, yeah, the City squad, and Dennis wasn't particularly, what are you doing dropping in? I'm saying, well, he doesn't
do a job for me,
So at 15, I was making those decisions.
Yeah.
I then did Sunday morning football management. You know, Taylor and Tunnicliffe, you know. Is he a professional footballer now, getting up Sunday morning to run a Sunday morning?
To get some experience, yeah.
But I enjoyed it as well, and we were successful.
It's fantastic. No, Dennis, it's fantastic. But going on from there, I mean, blimey, you know, you're one of a few managers who've done so many games, and I'm reading through your book, and you know, you obviously developed this speciality of almost no-win situations. I mean, you know, the Oxford situations, the Wrexham situations, the York City, even the Sunderland, really, which, you know, massive club like Sunderland, but we're in that time of adversity, and you kind of became this person that was, it didn't matter how dire it was, you had the ability and the desire to go in there and make it better, whatever better is.
But I also had the belief in my own ability. And you know, obviously with the Sunderland one, I mean, I left York for the same money to go to Sunderland. You know? I didn't have a car. They gave me a car at Sunderland, at York. I didn't get a car with the job. Fortunately, somebody sponsored me up there.
But, and also, didn't you kind of even worry Kate by saying it's going to cost us a few grand if I don't get this right?
Well, yeah. I mean, what had happened was York wanted compensation. Sunderland weren't prepared to pay it, so I said, right, well, we'll do it this way. If I don't get promotion, I'll pay it. If we get promotion, you pay it. And fortunately, I mean, I came out in the media, I said, look, if I can't get this club out of this division, you know, I don't deserve the job. Now, if you look now, they've been down there now for the last 4 or 5 years in that division, so it isn't that easy, but fortunately I did it. So I didn't have to pay any compensation, but I told Kate, yeah, take extra out on the mortgage for the house, just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because
that's belief, Dennis. That's self-belief. It is self-belief personified.
That's belief in my own ability, but you're then also looking at what you're taking over. Sunderland Football Club with gates of 30, 40,000. You know, how can they be in what is our division? It's crazy, and the passion and the belief and the love that those fans give, you didn't want to disappoint them, and it was good for me talking wise because I was doing press conferences twice a day
because of the fervour of the need for it.
Every street had his own newspaper about football. It was ridiculous. The passion I loved, and no, fortunately, I was successful with it. I had a couple of promotions with them and a good cup run. So, yeah, those sort of things. But you get disappointments. Life's full of good highs and disappointments, and it's how you bounce back and how you decide what's going to define you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, you've already touched on this. You made sure that you went and lived in the community that you were working in because you felt it was right. You wanted to be part of it because, as you said, the club isn't just this entity that stands on a hill. It's integrated into the lives of the people who sustain it, really. And you talk, that comes out in your book when, because of the challenges you had at Wrexham with all the stuff that, you know, you managed to get a club that was hanging by a thread, similar stuff at Oxford, you know, and I think you recognise that. And again, you talk about the time when you actually went to the Oxford supporters and tried to stand in front of the terraces and talk to them about what wasn't going well. It wasn't, and any other manager would have gone up the tunnel. And Dennis, we all know that, because it's not the time to, you know,
try to explain. Perhaps it wasn't the most sensible thing to do at the time, and but you think, well, look, you know, I mean, I was putting my own money in, and you know, selling players I didn't want to sell.
Amazing, it's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't want to sell players.
No, no.
I wanted, I didn't want to sell Matty Elliott and people like that. It'd be bonkers, but I had to. It was right for the club. And I had to try and keep the club afloat. And I had that problem, since I hit Wrexham, when they were in administration. I had to basically run it. They're the only football club ever to win a trophy while in administration. Yeah, and yeah, that when everything was down, that gave the whole area a lift.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I get my pleasure out to try putting smiles on people's faces, whether they're talking outside the school gate or at the bar in the pub. So people are talking about the football and how much they're enjoying it. And yeah, because it's such a big talking point in a lot of communities.
And I think, I think one of the things that's endeared you, Dennis, to the fans of the club that you played for and as a manager, from reading your book, is your honesty, because, you know, the Oxford situation where you attempted to speak to the supporters in the Sunderland, I think it was a Sunderland press conference where you'd signed somebody that just hadn't worked out, the player had had a nightmare since he'd been there, and all the media guys are wanting to kind of say to you, come on Dennis, admit it, and you did, and you just come out and it changed the whole atmosphere of the press conference. Yeah,
it hasn't worked. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. I cannot name one manager ever, from Alex Ferguson down, or Sir, I should call Alex.
Yeah, Sir Alex, yeah.
You know, who hasn't made bad signings. Mm. We do. Mm. You know, because no matter how much homework you do and how much you try, you don't know the person till you work with them.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you start working and trying to blend their way they do things in with what you're trying to do, sometimes it doesn't work. Yeah, and it might be he's having problems with the wife at home because she doesn't like the area, or the children are not happy at school. Or, you know, they're human beings and they've got the other problems as well, which they bring with them. And you have to try and deal with those, but try and then pacify him and get him playing.
And I think from listening to you, and you know, some of your anecdotes in your book, and again, you know, I suppose it's a bit of a the way that Cloughy talked about it. He always said, look, football's not about tactics, it's about players, and reading the people who you signed and re-signed again sometimes and had great faith in, and you knew what type of player you wanted for a particular job. And you also talk about this, and this may be just my perception, Dennis, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you talk about having this goalkeeper that's a solid position in your back four, which obviously the Stoke team that you played in when it was at its best, you had that. Blimey, you must have had the back four, best back four, you know, anywhere in the world at that point. But you talk about having that basic structure that gives you a chance of success.
Yeah, I mean, I love attacking football because I was brought up with Alan Hudson, the George Easton, the Jimmy Greenoffs, Dennis Violet before that. You know, there's so many good players I was fortunate to see. Stan play on his second time he came back. You know, I was brought up with Stoke at that time with creative players.
Yeah.
And everybody talks about Tony Waddington, about all the creative players he had. But when you look at all the defensive players he had in his size, the Maurice Setterses, the Eddie Clamps, you know, Calvin Palmers, you know, some absolute headbangers, but they could defend.
Yeah.
And he made sure he had a solid base. He always tried to get the best goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know, and I love to entertain. I think, you know, it's an entertainment business. You want, you know, the players to go out there and entertain.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got to be able to do that entertaining from a solid base.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to go, right, this is where we start from.
Yeah.
Get this right, then we can start painting the picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, there's a good few stories from your management career, Dennis, where you've even got your own players coming to the dugout saying, get such a body off, because he's having a nightmare. And you've got this faith that you know he can pop it in the net. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you've left him on and he might have popped one in the 89th, you know.
Goal scorers, especially lower down the leagues, are sometimes, you're looking at people say, he can't do this, he can't do that, and he can't trap, and he doesn't make these runs. Then you say, how many does he score? And he's got three. Did I ever tell you the story, I don't know if I put it in the book, about when I was at Bristol City, and I'd been talking to George Graham at Arsenal,
right,
and been telling me, you've got this young player who's giving him a hassle because he thinks he should be in the first team. I thought, oh, right, who is he, Andy Cole? I've gone, right, okay, I'll send somebody to watch him. So sent my coach to watch him, came back, and he's gone. I've gone, what do you think? He's gone, no, Gaffer. I said, why? He said, well, he can't do this, and he can't do that, and he can't do the other. I said, well, did he get any? Oh, he scored 2. And I'm going,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So don't tell me what he can't
do.
Tell me what he can do. And yeah, obviously I signed Andy at Bristol and he was brilliant. But Coley was the same. I mean, he brilliant player. But he's going, Gaffer, I can play, you know, I can come short and I can join it. I said, but I've got Jakunovski who can
do that.
You sit on people's shoulders and terrify them and run and get in the box. Yeah. You'll make yourself a fortune. Just go and enjoy yourself in their box. And he did. I mean, the kid was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And but you get people who tell you what people can't do. And I want to know what they can do.
And
it's because you go, well, he's not good at this. Right, okay. Is that going to affect my team? Where can I fit that into the team?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
What he's good at.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then, okay, we perhaps need somebody a bit, dropping a bit deeper there to fill in the things he can't do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're building the team.
Tell me about the one player, Dennis, that you said is the only time that somebody's changed your opinion on them. Dennis Lawrence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dennis Lawrence, a Trinidad centre-half, 6'6". And I'd taken over at Wrexham and they've got these three Trinidadians. And, yeah, but I'd looked at the previous 10 games and Dennis had played in centre-half in them. And without being rude, he was hopeless.
Yeah.
That's being polite.
Yeah.
He did everything the centre-half
shouldn't do.
So I've just got, he'll never play for me ever again. There's no way he'll ever get into my team. Like, we'll need a centre-half in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get into the offices and everything, get a knock on the door. This fella looms in. And it's Dennis Lawrence. Take a seat. What can I do for you? He's gone, Gaffer, I know you're not happy with, you know, telling me you don't fancy me. I said, on what I've seen, Dennis, no. But he's turned around to me and gone, well, tell me what you want me to do. What do you want me to improve on? And fair play, he's pulled me up. And I've gone, right, if we can work on this and we can work on that, and we can work on. He says, right, I'll be out this afternoon. And he worked on the lot and became the captain of the side.
It's an amazing story, isn't it?
Got on to play for Trinidad in the World Cup.
Well, I mean, from you know, from you, who obviously knows a player to actually say, you've got so many faults, but then in a period of time, have that humility to come in, ask the question, go away and put the work in, and then turn that into a highly successful career. That's a lesson in itself, Dennis, that that can be
brilliant
done.
From this point of view. Mm. It proved me wrong, because yeah. I've looked at these and I've gone, there's no way. He's all over the shop. He's got no idea how to do the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
But his attitude was first class. Came in, worked, top man.
Yeah. So we've talked about you recognising players. We've talked about being able to gel individuals to bring them together to do jobs. If you were talking to a young coach today who's got ambition to be better themselves and go on in the game, then is there anything you'd say to them about themselves and about their own development and what would you say to them from somebody who's got over 1,000 games at that level?
Smile and enjoy it.
Right.
Because it's an opportunity very few people get. You must be good to get into the situation you're in at the moment if you're thinking that way. Mm. Okay, how am I going to make this better? It's not all going to go right for you. Mm. You know, there is going to be obstacles. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Mm. And football is bad, especially management. There's 92 big jobs out there, that's it. Mm. Yeah, so it's a very limited market. Mm. But you've got to believe that you're good enough and you've got to go out there and prove you're good enough. Mm. And getting that opportunity is not always easy. But if you can get opportunity anywhere, don't go, well, I'm better than that. Go and take it and prove you're better than that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because, I went to York City. I remember I used to drive home from training at Stoke with Howard Kendall, and Howard always want to stop for a pint. So
yeah.
We'd stop for a pint and have a chat, but we both wanted to go into management, and we're all saying what sort of club we want and how we're going to do it. And he got Blackburn, I got York. I think he might have got
He's got the wrong one here. Yeah. But
it was, you know, we were both passionate about what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. But people are going, York must be bonkers. But I'd gone in there and saw the potential on some of the players. I mean, there's a lad called John Byrne who was training in the gym because they said he was allergic to grass. And I asked what the problem was, because I looked and thought, well, he can actually trap it. And
yeah, he can
pass
play.
It. And, you know, he got asthma.
So you just solved that one and you got a player, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, I just kept him. He was brilliant. So, you know, it went on to have a great career with Brighton and Republic of Ireland and everything else. But they were trying to get rid of him at York.
Yeah.
And, there was so many things at clubs at times that players don't get the right opportunity. You should go in with an open mind and look.
Yeah.
Because don't believe that, he's hopeless and he's hopeless. Have a look yourself, get as many videos or whatever, games, and get a general feel of them. Obviously, you go in, some clubs, you've got an idea of what the players are.
Yeah.
But you still don't know them as people.
Yeah.
So you have to get to know them as people and get to know their strong characters, your weak characters. But you need them all.
Yeah, yeah.
My thing with my coaches was, look, no matter what problems we've got with him, let's look after him. We need him Saturday.
Get the best out of him.
We need, we've got to mollycoddle certain players. Certain players turn up, train, and away, and no problem. Others,
high maintenance, low maintenance,
so many different things.
Characters, yeah.
And you've got to deal with them if you need them on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're there. Your job is to make sure they go out and perform on Saturday.
Yeah.
If they don't, you've got to look at yourself first.
Yeah.
What did you do wrong? Perhaps he'd been having a bad week. I shouldn't have picked him. Or he'd been, I should have perhaps still picked him. There is all different scenarios that you've got to judge yourself on, but you've got to be prepared to judge yourself.
So it's that balance, Dennis, of having that self-belief. But going back to, again, what you said earlier, you were prepared to learn. You had this learning. You've had it all your life, but I can just tell by by what you know the lessons you talk about as a player when you wanted to overcome the situation where you thought, flipping heck, I've been too rash, I've given these penalties away, this, you know, I've got to change this. You know, you weren't arrogant and saying, well, it's tough, you know, I'm right. And again, with your management, you're saying, you know, look, I'm prepared to listen, I'm prepared to open my mind up. I might not take it on board, I might not agree with it, but at least I've filtered it and
I've made a decision on it, but I've listened to it. You can't just go no. Mm. If people have got opinions, listen and then make your own opinion.
Yeah, because we don't know what we don't know, do we, sometimes? No.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You go, I never thought of that. Yeah. Why didn't I see that?
Yeah.
Some things are staring you in the face, you miss. Yeah. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah. And I've got to ask you this question. This is because obviously, I think, and you talk about again in your book a little, that this might have happened, it might not, you never managed the club that you played for, and it just, as life transpires, it never came around. And you talk about, you know, and how you had conversations with with Kate about it, and you know, she kind of had their opinions and that. And
well, I think, you know, it's important that people realise that again. If you're going to be successful in management, you need a good partner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have to put up with a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people just take for granted. Again, they don't look at you as human beings. Yeah. You know, Kate had to get the children out of school, move them to other schools, sell the house we were in.
Get another one sorted out.
And, you know, I wouldn't be there. She'd be, you know, she had to do all that and support me and, you know, and make sure. So, you know, the amount of work that Kate put in to making this successful is massive. Mm. But, yeah, you're always looking about Stoke. When I was at York, there was talk about me coming to York before I went to Sunderland, and one of the directors, when they were coming to see me, apparently died a couple of days before. Yeah. So that, and I might have done it then, but Sunderland came in, I went to Sunderland, and the other jobs came, and when I was at Sunderland, Peter, you know, offered me a job. I've known Peter Coates for a few years because I was. We started Signal Radio together. I mean, right. Peter was the instigator, but I was one of the directors. Right. And yeah, I learned a lot from Peter.
Yeah.
I was still a player then, but you know, business wise, and Peter was the chairman of this consortium we put together, and I was part of the consortium to start Signal Radio. Mm. So. So I've known Peter from that
a long time, yeah.
And absolutely unbelievably bright fella. Mm. And you know, he offered me, you know, a deal to go back to Stoke, and as his good lady tells me regular, I'd be a lot richer now for the team. But I was thinking about it, and Kate said she wasn't keen on the idea. Yeah. She loves the area and everything else, but she just said, imagine the booth and then chanting Smith out. And you go, yeah, I believe, you know, you think, well, it'll never happen, I'll be successful. But I've been successful at the majority of the other clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
But they still come and stay.
Yeah, yeah. When they don't want you.
Well, they don't want you. It happens in football management.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what. And we had it with Tony Pulis here.
I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Tony was brilliant, but they come to stay.
People go. Not satisfied anymore, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
It's a great story, Dennis. It's a great story.
Yeah, I mean, I got a choice, and there's no point looking back and having regrets.
No, and I think here you are, your life's fit. I mean, your life's been absolutely rampacked with challenges and football and playing and management, and you're still giving now. You know, you talk about your LMA stuff and your media work. You're still involved in what you love, which is just magnificent for me.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've been working this week on works permits, transfer deadline day.
Right.
Normally, we sit as a group down in Wembley. And
this is
for the FA,
FA.
For works permits. Well, you're working for the Home Office, actually.
Right.
It's an Home Office thing,
yeah.
But it's they pass it on to the FA. So we usually sit in doing it in Wembley.
Yeah, yeah.
Just waiting around to see what comes in last minute, which needs
the
panel to sit on it. And so we started 9 o'clock on Tuesday.
Right.
And the first one in, Sunderland. So I can't do it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So the next one, we changed panels at 2 o'clock and then
okay.
I came back on again at 6 or whatever, 4.
All right. So you don't know all the stuff that goes on, do you?
They keep changing. Yeah. And obviously some people can sit on some and some
can't.
People can sit on others. So I couldn't sit on the first one which came in. So I enjoy, I work for the FA. Up till last year, I was working for the Premier League as a match delegate. So I enjoyed that with the referees. And that was good fun. And I have different things. I'm president of Stoke City All Boys Association, which I enjoy. We have good meetings. We see a lot of the lads on a Tuesday morning when we go walking. I mean, I'm on the board of Stoke City Community.
Yeah.
So I'll get involved with things there and know what people don't realise again. You know, Stoke City, the community spent 1.8 million in the community last year.
Right, fantastic.
That's massive.
Yeah, yeah,
and
fantastic.
People just don't realise.
No.
And it's, so there's, I've got a lot of interests and different things, and I try and keep myself busy.
Yeah.
I enjoy life, and I left my children in nice places.
Yeah, yeah, well,
so I'm going to visit.
You talk very in great detail about how lovely Durham was and you know, when you were up that way and stuff, so, Oxford.
Oxford, York, Durham, beautiful places, but Wrexham, I made good friends over at Wrexham. I've been trying to arrange meeting up with them this week. They were the friends I've got over there. Not football supporters; they're rugby. They're Welsh. They've got a problem, but
yeah, you can't help it. Yeah, yeah.
Friends I've got over there. There is always different people in different places that you get bonds with, and you try and one of my best friends still lives in Durham.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen much of him of late. I spoke to him last week, the week before.
Yeah.
And it's cricket more than football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, there is different people come into your lives in different ways, and to have that variety, you're very fortunate.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful, Dennis. Dennis, I can't, in an hour we've been through your childhood, your playing career, with into your management, and we've covered all the points that I thought needed sharing from a blimey, I could sit here till 6 o'clock, but I can't thank you enough for that. And
down the pub at half
five. Half five, yeah, I forgot about that. But I really appreciate it, mate, and thanks ever so much for taking the time. It's been a great hour, and I've loved it. So thanks ever so much.
Pleasure, Rob.
Bless you, mate. Thank you.
Leader Manager Coach podcast is available via the Leader Manager Coach app. Download it now to access the rich resource of unique, insightful and educational material to help you on your own journey in football, sport and life. Leader Manager Coach. For the game. For life. Available now on Google Play and Apple App Store.